From Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschelt in a new Dr. Christian story called Leap No More, My Lady. Presented for your pleasure by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. If you have children in your family who seem to have one cold after another, perhaps you'll get some help from the testimony of our young guest of the evening.
My children. For months, I was almost frantic. One of the children would just get over a cold when the other would come down with one. Well, to make matters worse, I sometimes had both of them ill at once. And then a wise neighbor told me about Vaseline Jelly, how good it was both in helping to combat colds and relieving the discomfort of them. She told me how Vaseline Jelly, inserted in the nostrils, melts at body temperature, coating the nasal passages with a soothing protective film, how it makes breathing easier. I started using it on the children and was amazed at the splendid results. From now on, our medicine cabinet will never be without Vaseline Jelly.
We venture to say that anybody will find Vaseline Jelly helpful in preventing the discomfort of colds by simply inserting it in the nostrils before going outdoors, and at night applying a little in the same manner to relieve your head of that dry and stuffed-up feeling. It costs only 10 cents at your neighborhood drugstore. And while you're there, ask your druggist about the other products bearing the famous Vaseline name. Vaseline Carbolated Jelly, Vaseline Camphor Ice, Vaseline Lip Ice, and Vaseline Borated Jelly. Remember when you buy to look always for the trademark Vaseline. It is your assurance of getting the genuine article. Tonight's Dr. Christian play is called Leap No More, My Lady. Gene Herschelt, famous Hollywood star, plays the role of Dr. Christian, and red-headed Rosemary DeCamp plays the role of Judy Price, his secretary. The supporting cast includes Anne Morrison as Lucy Plum, our River's End librarian, Hans Conried as George Kegley, her childhood sweetheart, and Frederick Shields as Stan Sherwood, the second nicest boy in town, according to Judy. And the rising curtain shows Dr. Christian's office about 5 o'clock in the evening. Judy is just putting on her hat to go home, and the doctor is relaxing for a moment while with his pipe.
You go ahead, Judy. I'll answer.
All right.
Hello? Yes, he is. Wait a moment. It's for you, Judy.
Oh.
The music store calling.
The music store?
Stan Sherwood.
Oh.
I didn't know he had nerve enough to call up a girl.
Hello, Stan? I'm sorry, but I already have a date for the dance. Hmm? Oh, now, that's silly. There are plenty of girls who'd like to go with you. Ah, don't be so bashful. Well, I'll try. All right, you call me later this evening, hmm? Bye.
Well, a girl as popular as you should have been twins.
Oh, if I were, one of me would certainly be going with Stan Sherwood. He's the second nicest boy in town. Well, I've got to see what I can do about finding a date for him.
Well, why don't you call up Lucy Plum?
Oh, Lucy wouldn't go with him or anyone else. If she can't tag around after George Kegley, she'd rather stay home.
Well, that's natural. They've been running around together ever since high school days.
Oh, you mean George has been running around? It's a shame after the way she mothers him and looks after him. I suppose you know it was Lucy who talked Mr. Jenkins into taking George back after he'd been fired.
Oh, yes, I heard something about it. But then a girl wouldn't want to marry a man who didn't have a job.
George hasn't the slightest intention of asking Lucy to marry him. She's wasting her life waiting for him.
Well, then Lucy ought to ask George. This is leap year, you know.
That's all right to joke about, but no girl should run after a man. She should run away from him.
And keep on running away from him until she catches him.
Yeah.
Good night, Judy. See you in the morning.
Where's George?
Oh, he's in the consultation room with Dr. Christian.
Oh, Judy, it isn't anything serious, is it?
Hmm?
You know, his father had an enlarged heart. You don't
think... I think George's trouble is an enlarged head. No, it's nothing serious. He's trying to get Dr. Christian to trade in his old car.
Oh, You see, he promised to stop at the library for me and take me to lunch, and when he didn't come, I phoned his office. They said he was here so naturally, I was a little worried.
Don't you take George too seriously?
Oh, but he isn't well. He really isn't. He works too hard.
I imagine.
Why, he says there are times when one second he's cold and then hot and then wringing wet. What's that a sign of, Judy?
Probably that he's taking a shower.
Judy, you don't like George, do you?
Oh, but
that's because you don't understand him. George is too big for this town. He has too much ambition and enthusiasm. He's always been that way, fired with enthusiasm.
Yes, from about every job he's ever had.
Oh, I know, but they don't appreciate him here. George is a genius, and someday he's going...
I'm telling you, Doc, we're offering you a mighty well traded.
Well, I don't know.
George.
Hello, Lucy.
George, I thought I'd meet you here, and then we could go to lunch.
Well, Judy, how are they going? I didn't have a chance to talk to you when I came in. As I always say, work before pleasure.
Well, sometimes they're both the same thing.
You said it, sweetheart. Say, how's about knocking off and going to lunch with me?
Huh? I'm busy.
Okay, we'll make it some other time. I'll be seeing you.
George.
So long, Doc. And you think it over about that trade-in.
All right.
All the cheap tricks running out on you like that, I think...
Never mind, Judy.
But he didn't mean to. He just forgot, that's all. He didn't. Really, he didn't.
Oh, darling, don't cry. He isn't worth it. You know he isn't. Please, please don't cry.
Wait a minute, Judy. Lucy, here, you come on into the consultation room with me. We'll talk this thing over. Now then, you sit down there and you stop crying. You're making your eyes all red.
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, you'd better care. Red eyes are hardly attractive. From now on, you're going to be very attractive. You're out to land George Kettley.
Land him? Why, Dr. Christian.
Well, you're in love with him, aren't you?
Well, yes, but I'm not out to land him.
Oh, yes, you are. Let's not mince words. You want to marry George. Well, why don't you do something about it?
Why, what can I do? Marriages are made in heaven.
Yeah, but a bright girl can give heaven an awful lot of help.
I don't know what you mean.
Look here. Are you and George ever alone?
Well, yes, when he takes me out in his car.
What do you talk to him about?
Oh, I don't know. About my work at the library and about books and current events.
Well, do you think George is especially interested in books and current events?
Why, I hadn't thought about that. What would he be interested in?
If I know George, George. Now, tell me something else. When you are out with him, do you ever let him kiss you?
Well, certainly not.
Well, the idea is not patented, you know.
Well, some girls may kiss in public, but there are plenty who don't.
Oh, sure, sure. The woods are full of them.
And I don't believe in giving a young man that much rope.
Well, don't forget it takes rope to ring a wedding bell.
If you don't mind, Dr. Christian, I'd rather not discuss this any further.
Sit down, Lucy. I've known you ever since you were a little girl. I watched you grow up, meet George Kettley, and fall in love with him. And I watched him gradually break your heart. Well, you're either going to get over George Kettley, or you're going to marry him.
Why, you talk as if I were the kind of a girl who gets a man by leading him into an ambush and then leaping out at him.
Well, what other kind of girl does get a man? Ah, let me see. I think we'll begin by your getting some new clothes.
What's the matter with these? They're neat and sensible.
Well, that's just the point. You don't want to look sensible. You want to look daring.
Well, I won't. I wouldn't think of dressing the way a lot of girls do. You can always tell their character by what they wear.
Oh, nonsense. They must have more character than that.
No, it's no use, Dr. Christian. I'm not going to lead George on. I know what happens to a girl who leads a man on.
Yeah, but do you know what happens to a girl who doesn't lead a man on? Nothing. Now, after you get your new dress, have your hair fixed. And, oh, yes, you can use a little makeup, too.
Oh, I won't do it.
And then I'll give it at the dinner party, and you'll meet George Kettley all over again.
I tell you, I won't. I won't even come to the party.
Well, in the meantime, you might be thinking of something else you can talk about to him besides books and current events. In fact, it'd be a good idea if you dropped in here for a lesson or two.
A lesson?
Yes. You're too brainy, Lucy. You need a few lessons on how to be dumb. Hello. Oh, hello, Joe. I guess we were cut off. Yes, that's right. Dinner for 5, and we'll be there in less than half an hour. Let's see. There'll be Judy Price and Stan Sherwood, Lucy Plum and George Keckley, and myself. All right, Joe, fine.
Hello, are we late?
No, right in time. Hello, Stan.
Hello, Dr. Christie.
Well, it's a wonder we aren't. I had to practically drag Stan away from his job at the music store.
Oh, no, that isn't true at all. I accepted Dr. Christian's invitation 2 weeks ago, didn't I, Doctor?
Aren't Lucy and George here yet?
No, Lucy is.
Huh? Where?
In the consultation room, fixing up. She lives so far out that George thought it'd be better if she came in on the bus. He'll meet her here.
Dear old George, always so thoughtful of himself.
Oh, come on now, Judy. George isn't so bad. There must be something about him you like.
Yes, his absence.
Say, what's this party all about, Dr. Christian? It isn't Judy's birthday, is it?
No. No, I'd say it's going to be kind of a surprise party. I hope.
Hiya, folks. Here's the life of the party.
Oh, come on in, George.
Better late than never, I always say.
Hello, George.
Hello, Sherwin. Well, Judy, say, you look sweet enough to eat.
I intend to eat. After all, it's a dinner party, isn't it?
Yeah, now you're talking. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, I always say.
Oh, do you?
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go, eh?
You haven't forgotten anything, have you?
Forgotten anything?
I was thinking of Lucy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Say, where is Lucy? Hasn't she showed up yet?
Oh, yes. She's been here for quite a little while. I'll call her. Lucy?
Yeah.
You're waiting.
Good evening, George.
Lucy. Lucy Plum. Oh, darling, you look marvelous.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, gee.
Well, what's the matter, Georgie?
Nothing, only... Say, I'm awfully sorry, Lucy, about not driving out to get you this evening. You see, my car's in the shop. Generator's busted. They have to send out for an armature.
Oh, an armature.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't they get one from Major Bowles?
Oh!
No, Lucy. You see, it's my car. You see, the reason I couldn't come to get
you...
Oh,
don't worry about that, Georgie. I have a hunch I'll be moving into town soon anyway.
Oh, gee, well, when?
As soon as I can find a reasonable apartment.
What kind of an apartment are you looking for, Lucy?
Well, an empty one. They're ever so much more convenient.
I think what Stan means is the rent. How much are you paying where you stay now?
Nothing.
Nothing?
That's why I have a hunch I'll be moving soon.
Well, what we're getting at, Lucy, how much do you expect to pay for an apartment when you move into town?
Oh, about the same. No nice girl would live in a cheaper place. What do you think, Dr. Christian?
I think we all ought to go to dinner. Anybody have more dessert?
Oh, I'd love to. Only when I eat dessert late at night, it gives me dreams.
Bad dreams?
Well, they were at first, but they're getting better now. The last one was in Technicolor.
Oh.
Did they ever come true, Lucy?
Oh, don't be silly, Judy. Dreams always go by opposite. Like last night, I was asleep and I dreamt I was awake. And when I woke up, I found I was asleep.
Yeah, I know how it is, not being able to sleep. Sometimes I'm awake for hours.
How can you tell?
Oh, say, Sherwood, you got another nickel?
Oh, yes, I guess so.
Well, run over there and put it in the phonograph, will you? Let's have some more music.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have thought of that myself.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, Sherwood.
Yeah? Pick out a good tune, will you?
Oh, sure.
On with the dance, I always say. Come on, Lucy.
Oh, wait a minute, George. Aren't you sort of monopolizing Lucy?
Oh, why not? She's my girl, ain't she?
I know, but she looks a little tired.
Oh, but I'm not really.
Oh, you dance this one with Judy.
What?
Well, I know she'd be crazy to dance with you. Wouldn't you, Judy?
Yes, I certainly would.
Anyway, I want you two to get better acquainted.
But I don't get you, Doc. I've known Judy all my life.
Now, you put on along, George. You can dance with Lucy some other time.
Yes, George, do come on.
Well, okay.
Why did you make him dance with Judy?
Oh, for lots of reasons. For one, I want to talk to you. I thought this would be a good opportunity. And for another, it won't hurt George to miss you a little.
Judy doesn't like him.
You want her to, don't you? You want everybody to like George, if you're going to marry him.
Oh, Dr. Christian, I can't keep up this silly pose any longer. It isn't fair. It isn't right to plan and plot schemes. Well, love is blind.
Love is blind because so many girls cry their eyes out over it. You're not going to be one of them.
It's just the same. It won't work.
Oh, you're doing all right. You let George Keckley square you into that ambush we talked about. And if you're smart, you'll be engaged to him before midnight. Morning, Judy.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Christian.
How was the shower last night for the bride-to-be?
Oh, all right. Only Lucy forgot one of her presents. I brought it into the office. She's coming in to get it.
That's fine.
She told me they're not going to have a church wedding.
No? Why?
Oh, George doesn't want one. He thinks they ought to be married right away without going through a lot of fuss and preparations, so they're getting married tomorrow night.
What? What's that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why so soon?
Because George wants it that way. The truth is, he's lost his job, and they're going to move to Minneapolis. They're leaving right after the wedding.
For Minneapolis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
I didn't know it until last night. Anyway, what difference does it make? You ought to be glad you were so keen about getting Lucy married.
Sure, I'm glad she's getting married, but I haven't had time to buy her a wedding present. You say she's coming in this morning?
Mm-hmm. She's on her way.
Well, if they're moving to Minneapolis, they'll probably be living in a hotel. It'd be foolish to give her something for a home. Or she might not have a home for a long time.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Wait, let me think. Lucy will be staying in a room while George looks for a job. Well, a portable radio would be just the thing. Oh, say, hand me that phone.
All right. You better hurry. Lucy's crossing the street right now.
Hello? Hello, Stan, Dr. Christian. Listen, Stan. I wanted to do something for me quick. Bring over one of those portable radios, the best one you have. Yes, right away to my office. Thanks a lot. Well, how's the bride? Happy?
Why, yes, of course I am.
Judy's been telling me you're moving to Minneapolis right after the wedding.
Yes, we think there'll be greater opportunities for George in a larger town.
Well, I hate to see you go, Lucy, but that's something you have to decide for yourself.
Uh-huh.
Young people should solve their own problem.
Well, what a pity. There's always someone around who tries to solve it for them.
Huh? What's that, Judy?
Nothing, no.
Oh. And as long as you're with George, I know you won't be lonesome for anyone here in River's End.
Suppose not.
Well, when you get located, drop us a card and...
Here it is, Doctor. Oh, hello, Lucy.
Hello, Stan.
Oh, put it on the table, Stan. Now, take off the cover. Good. I ordered it for you, Lucy. A little wedding present.
Oh, why, Dr. Christian, thank you. It's simply swell.
I hoped you'd like it. I'd get it in sort of a rush. I just heard about your moving your wedding date up to tomorrow night.
Oh, is it to be tomorrow night?
That's right. Isn't it fine? And right after the wedding, Lucy and George are going to Minneapolis to live.
To live? Well, this is kind of a surprise, Lucy, but... I wish you all the happiness in the world.
Thank you, Stan.
Now, let's see if it works. Turn it on, Stan. That's pretty. Huh? Very pretty.
Well, if I don't see you again before you go, Lucy, well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Stan.
Shut that darn thing off! Shut it off!
Stan, what on earth? Hey, you'll smash it, Stan! Oh.
She's not going away. I won't let her go.
What are you talking about? Lucy is engaged to George Keckley. He's marrying him tomorrow night.
I don't care. He can't take her away. George has never been able to earn a living for himself. How's he going to make a living for her?
Oh, please, Stan, please.
Oh, Lucy can look after herself.
Oh, that's what you think. Fine judge of human nature you are. You ought to know she's just a little girl with no ideas of money. Doesn't even know how much to pay for a room. And besides...
Yes, and besides, why don't you say it, you wolfy sheep clothing? Besides, you're in love with her yourself. You always have been.
All right, I am. And I'd have said it long ago if she hadn't been so crazy about George.
Oh, Stan, you shouldn't have said it ever. It'll only make things harder because I don't know what's the matter with me, but I'm not in love with George anymore. I'm not.
This has gone far enough. I've tried to be helpful, and you're making a mess out of the whole thing. Well, I'm through. Get out of my office and settle your own affairs.
You can't talk to her like that. She's done nothing wrong.
All right, then you talk to her. But talk to her outside of my office, and you'd better talk fast.
Come on, Lucy.
Well,
I thought that never was going to happen. Only a day before the wedding.
What?
I was beginning to get worried.
Oh, no. Look here, Dr. Christian. You don't mean you planned that...
Well, we couldn't let her marry George, could we?
Oh, but...
Say, that radio came in just right, didn't it?
Shot with luck, you are. You can even turn on the radio and get just the right piece.
Ah, you can get that piece any hour today on the radio. Anyway, it's all worked out happily.
Well, but... Why did you let her get engaged to George in the first place?
Well, don't you see? I had to do something to make Stan Sherwood speak up.
Oh, I don't get this yet. I thought she was throwing herself at George.
Oh, yes, she was at first. But that's just like a woman. Never hits anything she aims at.
And the curtain comes down on Jean Hirschold's Dr. Christian play for tonight called Leap No More, My Lady. While we're waiting for Mr. Hirschold to come out here and tell us something about next week's story, I would like to ask the ladies in our audience this question. How many of you have enjoyed the luxury of an oil shampoo at your beauty parlor? You know how it brightens dull, lifeless hair and relieves dry scalp, but did you know that you can give yourself this treatment in your own home at a minimum of expense and trouble with Vaseline Hair Tonic? Here's all you have to do. Buy a bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic at your druggist tomorrow. Then shake it liberally on your scalp and massage well. Next, wring a towel out of piping hot water and wrap it around your head. When the towel cools, repeat the process. Then give yourself a good shampoo. You'll find the difference in your hair amazing. Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements the natural scalp oils, helps to combat dry scalp. And that means your hair will be softer, more lustrous and healthy looking, and easy to arrange. If you are bothered by dandruff scales, another symptom of dry scalp, you'll find this pleasant treatment helps to remove them too. Chances are you'll be so delighted that you'll want to give yourself this Vaseline Hair Tonic treatment before every shampoo. Vaseline Hair Tonic is economical too. There's enough in a 40-cent bottle for several treatments. Get a bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic at your druggist tomorrow. And start enjoying the new hair beauty that a healthy scalp and hair can bring. And now, Jean Hirschold, as Dr. Christian, is here at the microphone for his goodnight speech. Dr. Christian. What kind of story have you selected for us for next week, Dr. Christian?
Next week's play is called Blossom or Two, and it's a story of a girl who ran away from Riversend in search of adventure and freedom from our small town proprietors. How she came back to Riversend and what happened to her in the meantime makes a very inspiring play. And so until next Wednesday evening at the same hour, I'll say good night.
If you would like to actually see our little town of Riversend, the good doctor, Judy, and the others, why don't you set aside an evening and attend the RKO picture Meet Dr. Christian, based on this radio series and starring Jean Hirschold in the title role. This is Arthur Gilmore adding a good night for the makers of Vaseline Preparations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.